And greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson, and you're on UrbanBuzzMag.com, and I have Theo Forsett on the line with me, and he has a great album and project out, and you know how we do. We find the diamonds in the rough, and we're going to tell you more and more about them. So, Theo, love at your fingertips. Introduce yourself and tell everybody about the new project going on.
Hey, greetings, everyone, and much love, and thank you so much, Ms. Anderson, for your support. I really appreciate you.
Thank you.
From my heart. Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome.
Well, the album, Love at Your Fingertips, is, you could say, homage to the 90s and honestly to the 70s. R&B music, because that's what, we decided, me and my two producers, his name is Deion Dobson and Lance Whitfield.
Okay.
They produced Casey and JoJo. They've done, numerous of other acts. They also do film and TV scoring. They're two talented producers. And so when we got together, we decided we just want to do what we like because we want to be authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And that was always our main thing. Be authentic. Be who I am.
Right.
And nobody else.
We need that.
But sometimes with the record labels always have a tendency to try to mold the artist in some other kind of form in which it doesn't fit.
Right.
You have to just let that artist be authentically who they are. And I watched this interview with Anita Baker, and she said, and this stuck out of my head, she said, I can't sound like anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I can't sing like a Beyonce or anybody else. I can only be Anita Baker, right?
Right.
But that's she's absolutely right. I can only be Theo.
Right.
I can't be anybody else, So that was always in my back of my head, understanding that. I can only be me.
Right.
And express the better me.
Yeah.
And that was always important. And also just the expression of a relationship, not just sexual, but just a relationship that's between two people who love each other.
Right.
And that was always my importance. And that's where we kind of went old school with it.
Right.
So that's what you hear and that's what you see now.
Yeah, and that's what we need, more love songs. When we have more love songs, I'm not saying I'm against hip-hop, I'm just saying. When we have more love songs, there seemed to be more peace on the earth. That's all I'm saying. So, what is life like in the R&B space today? Because let me tell you guys, this guy has been with some of the greats. And before we get into that, what's the R&B space like today?
It's in a weird stage right now. I'm just being honest. People are trying to find a balance now because mm-hmm. it's just like music seems to be lost in the process. What I'm saying is that because if you notice, it's all the R&B artists that you've known and most of those people from the South or from they all grew up in the church.
Right.
So there's a measure, it has nothing to do with religion, but I'm just saying this, a feeling, like you want to hear a good gospel, if you want to hear a good singer, go to gospel. They say go to church, you'll find one, right? Just like Aretha.
Right.
I like to use Aretha. She's a perfect example because where she grew up, even her father was a preacher, but she wanted to do secular music, which is nothing wrong with that. And that was perfectly fine. And so I think the young singers today, it's not connected. Anyway, because if you don't know, you can't think about it. Now, there's a couple of things that I do absolutely love. I could say Jasmine Sullivan, right?
Okay.
Jasmine Sullivan, to me, is the new Aretha. To me, the girl really can sing. We say in the South, that girl can sing. So, the older guys, of course, like Eric Benet, Maxwell, Anthony Hamilton. There's a few young guys also. They're killing the game. But there's such a one-sided thing, in the business. And it's a struggle for R&B artists like me. It's like it's just like trying to get gigs, right?
Right.
Trying to perform. I perform, it's hard. It's hard to get gigs.
Right.
And trying to make a living at this because it's something that you love.
Mm.
Put my heart and soul into this. This is what I love. Now, also, the writing.
You're a songwriter, right?
Yes, absolutely. I wrote three of the songs here on the album. I wrote Love at Your Fingertips, Fired Up, and More Than Ever.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. I like everything you were saying in regards to the R&B space and trying to get gigs and build a livelihood. Do you take refuge in your music? singing and songwriting?
Oh, absolutely. Just to let you know, because I live in Los Angeles, I'm an actor.
Right.
I started in, I've done some TV and commercial work and that type of stuff, but mm-hmm. music has always been my first love and always will be.
Right.
Because my mother sings. That's where I get it from. I come from my mom. And so music has always been my refuge. In fact, when you're feeling down, you know, slap those headsets on and listen to some great music. That's what I do.
Right, right.
There's an artist that really is, and I can say, he's been my mentor forever. And I got a chance to meet with him and deal with him for a minute, and Stevie Wonder. Stevie, and everybody will tell you that. I mean, every artist will tell you, hey, Charlie Wilson, everybody can tell you Stevie's always been, even with Prince. Prince was,
right.
And Stevie were very close. But he's such an inspirational cat. Since I was a little kid, he's the one I gravitated to, you know, and because my two older brothers bought all the music in the house.
Right,
you
know, right, right.
Up, deep, people, breath, I mean, the slew of albums everywhere. But it was him. It was just something about him that did it for me, that triggered right. me. And so that was the reason why I wanted to sing. It was all because of him. I mean, I sung in the church, you know, with my family.
Right.
And that whole thing, of course, went up in church. But I'm talking about being on stage.
Nice.
Was because of Steve.
Now, let me ask you, let me ask you this question. You're the mm-hmm. youngest of six, you know, singing in the choir with mm-hmm. your family. How mm-hmm. did you shine? How did you come out? Or do your siblings sing it well, act as well? I always think, like, we see the Jackson 5 movie and stuff like that. Give us a synopsis of, like, growing up. Was it just a full talented family, or was you just the youngest and, like, hey, guys, this is what I'm doing?
Well, it's funny because, I have a large family. It's not my brothers, but my cousins, because we're very close.
Mm-hmm.
My cousins and my brothers, my brother next to me, this is Rodney, and my other two siblings. They sang in the choir, but not like I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But my cousins who played the piano, played the drums, sang, that whole thing, it was a family affair.
Okay, cool.
And so, but it's funny, my father recognized that I could sing because he would always have me get up and sing a solo.
Okay.
And he kind of fostered that in.
Okay.
My father.
Okay, cool.
He was really into the church thing. He the one that pushed me out there. Like, solo. Hey, that's fine. You know, I started sick.
Right.
It was quite something to do that. get that young, and he could see it, you know?
Right. That's always a blessing when a parent can actually see the gift in their child. I always salute that. Now, you talked about music and acting. But I saw something about you that I kind of chuckled. Comedy.
Yeah.
Where does your comedy, I guess growing up with so many brothers and sisters, comedy just
that's what we do.
Yeah. Comedy kind of just floats in. But draw us into how you got into your comedy mode.
Well, it's funny because all my friends were comedians.
You know, okay.
Like my best friend, he's over here named Charles Holman. He was a stand-up guy. When I first moved to L.A., he was the first person I met.
Mm-hmm.
We used to go to this, I didn't know a soul when I came to L.A., so I stayed with my sister, and I finished my years of school and college out here, but I didn't know a soul, and he was the first person I met at the showcase. You know, Monday through Thursdays, we'd just go up there and perform, and he'd do his stand-up, and I was saying, we became best friends. And I just hung around a lot of comedians, and that's what got my funny bone comes from. I used to play these kids' Robin Harris album. I'm opening it up his album.
I'm
on his album. Yeah. Wow. Robin was one of my best friends. I love Robin. I knew Rob for a long time. Oh, that's Eddie Griffin, another friend of mine. I knew Martin. And met Chris Tucker, Daniel Wayans. So all those guys I knew, I hung about. So it was a thing where it just rubbed off.
Right.
The funny bone part of me. And I love to laugh. That has always been my thing. I like, my mom is funny too. So I think her funny bone is, we always got together. We just got a good laugh, tell jokes. So.
Yeah. How do you find balance between all that you do?
Well, you know what it is? It's funny because nothing, I get bored with one or the other. It evens me out. It just does. You know what I mean? I don't like to just do one thing. You know, I'm eclectic that way, where I like, you know, I like acting and I like singing and performing. It's like the old days, you know what I mean? Back in the old days where you could see Lena Horne and Sammy Davis Jr. singing it.
Right, Flip Wilson.
And I think you have to have strength. Oh, just like with Queen Latifah and Method Man and everybody's acting, you know, and rapping, you know, that whole thing, the balance. So it's not a far stretch. And I grew up watching all that stuff as a kid, so I just hooked it in as a sponge. So it wasn't a far stretch to go in that route. But music has always will be my first love, though.
Right, right.
And I'm very proud of this album, you know, because like I said, we worked hard on it, you know.
So, and what's one of your favorite songs?
Get a chance to listen. Oh, it is Love at Your Fingertips.
Love at Your Fingertips is your favorite song. My favorite song is More Than Ever. I like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a personal thing, too.
See, every time I interview someone and I pick a song I like, it's always something that they've been through or it's personal to them. It's like, because I can feel it. I can feel it. That is amazing. So let's talk about my favorite song, More Than Ever.
Okay, well, you know, it's been, you take somebody for granted. And as when you're young, you do stupid stuff. You just do, you know?
Yeah.
Really focus on that person like you should. And then when you lose them, it's heartbreaking.
Right.
It's heartbreaking for me.
Right.
You know, to realize I lost her. I lost her in that way, and it was a heartbreak. And so, you know, that's when you hear the memories speak to me.
Right.
You know, think how it could have been if you just stood with me. You know what I mean? That line always gets me all the time because I think about that. That's a hard pill to swallow.
Right.
But you got to be real with it, too, though. But be honest with what you did and the mistakes you made.
Come on. Yeah.
And that song, I think it speaks in a certain way that it explains, you know, the circumstance in a way that, you know, people can understand and relate to it, you know. Especially from a male point of view, because, you know, we have a tendency to, you know, be too macho and not think about the aspect of somebody's feeling.
What's one of your favorite R&B songs? And it could be one of yours.
That's really hard.
I know.
Wow, for so many tell the story. First time I had the chance to meet Stevie, and the person that introduced me said, told him that, you know, he got so much to say to you, and he just wanted to meet you. So when I got made, nothing would come out. And he said, it was funny that he said, wow, I heard you had much to say, but you're not saying nothing. Because I'm speechless. I said, I don't know what to say. I was like in shock. But I got a chance to sit down with him. It was just me and him sitting on the piano. And this is one of my favorites. And I said, Steve, you know what's my favorite song by you? He said, what? I said, Tim Jillian Light Years Away.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you know that song.
Yeah.
That is one of my favorite songs.
It
drains me to tears when I think about it because it's just a... See, they say that heaven is Tim Jillian Light Years Away.
Yeah.
But if there is a God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess that's the gospel person in me, too.
Yeah. Ann Nesby, I think, did a remake, and I played on my gospel station a lot, and she does an excellent job at that. That's all right. How do you remain persistent? I mean, we're talking about you've been in the game decades. So how do you... How have you stayed persistent in pursuing all the avenues that you enjoy and bring us to the part where you took a hiatus and now you're back with Love at Your Fingertips?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess you just got to believe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing, my father always said, if you don't believe, nobody else will.
Right.
You don't need nobody else to believe but you.
Come on, sir. Yeah.
And that's it. He said, son, if you believe, that's enough.
That's it.
He said, that's enough. Nobody else has to, not even family. Sometimes they're not going to believe. He said, but if you believe, that's enough. That's all you need. And I said, hear him talk. But, you know, when you have those moments.
Right.
You know, and like you starting this magazine on your own.
You
just by yourself. Sometimes, you know, they say, I don't know how you're going to do it, but you believe.
My God.
That is enough.
Okay. Now, you know, this can go to church real quick. So I'm going to go ahead and say, because I could feel that. And I mean, to anyone who's listening, that was a valid, true word. If you believe in what the gift that God put in you, if you believe in what you're doing, then you are enough. My God, that was good. That was good. What is one of your greatest accomplishments, although you've had many, whether it was successful or a learning lesson?
Well, I think just, I'm from a small town.
Okay.
And to come from that home of beginning, to be on TV and being around the Denzel Washington, I met this person, and I met just to be around Richard Pryor before he passed. And just to see as a kid, I mean, I could tell you, hey, I'm just a guy.
Right. Right.
But to be able to do that, doing it, and like I said, me believing I could do it. Because I remember before I left, right? Because I finished my last year of school out here. And I remember one of my friends, he says, well, how do you know you're going to make it? I said, I don't know. I'm going to make it, but I'm going to try. Mm. And so, like I said, you know, it's a balance. You have to be able to balance. But you also, like I said, you got to believe in yourself. Even on those down moments. Everybody, you know, I have my doubts.
Right.
Like anybody.
Right.
I'm human.
Right.
You know, but don't beat yourself up. Stop doing that.
Right.
You know, mistakes. Get over it and keep pushing it up. There's one thing I have a habit of, my father ever said, I like bringing my dad in, because he always gave me these words of encouragement and knowledge.
Right.
He said, stop looking in the mirror so much that you can't see what's coming in front of you. Stop reflecting on the past so much and holding on to that, you know. All you got is now.
Right.
You don't have tomorrow.
Right.
You don't have yesterday. And so you got to look at it then. So you got to keep moving forward in spite of what's going on around you. You still got to keep moving forward. You just do.
Right, right.
And don't give up.
Right, right.
You know? We always got to go through time harder. We know the drift.
Right, right. Let's not fool ourselves.
Exactly. So we know what we got to do. So
right.
We got to get to it.
Right. Are you putting this album out yourself? Is this an independent project?
Yeah.
Okay.
Correct. Independent project. So, hey, guys, if you know your radio, please play it.
That's right.
Yeah, this is all independent. It's all independent. We put our own money up on this thing.
That's all right.
Yeah, we're working on the second album now.
Okay. Now, how do you plan to celebrate this new album release?
We just getting it done.
Uh-huh.
Was the first... Because, you know, it was just that we liked and then it wrote. He said, hey, let's do these. I said, okay, perfect. Let's go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't hesitate. And that's
right.
Another thing. We didn't go around delivering, thinking about it too hard. Because you got to go with what you feel, you know, because your spirit will tell you.
That's true.
If it's right or not.
Uh-huh.
You know, sometimes
yeah.
You just got to go for it. That's how we looked at it. We're going for this. It's been a project of love and joy and work. And we had a lot of professional people playing on it. One of the guys who mixed the record, his name is Greg. I can't think of Greg's last name, but he produced all Charlie Wilson's record and Johnny Gill's record.
Okay.
And he did Shaka's last record she just had out. Greg just produced that record on her. So we had some, you know, you call favors, and we had some phenomenal people work on this record. So I'm very proud of it.
I was just getting ready to mention that word, and you said favors. Talent is talent. A song is a song. Everybody's ear and everybody's heart and everybody's connection. We all know when a song is a good song. So your songs are good,
mm-hmm.
Right? You're doing good. You got a good project. When you ask for favors, and maybe some people say yes, maybe some people say no, how is that process for you? I'm just talking to you. How's that process for you?
Well, it's also a scheduling issue.
Okay.
You mean? Because people are working and people trying to, you know what I mean? They're trying to put food on their plate too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know I ask for papers and not pay somebody.
Right.
That's what we did.
Okay.
Everybody that worked on this record, you know, we try to make sure they were taken care of in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, because they're so professional, and they are who they are, and they know me.
Mm-hmm.
and they listen to the, first of all, they listen to the songs, and they're like, oh, yeah, dude, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
You know, and they came in and just laid it out, man, because it, see, everything is, and music is about feel. It's about how it makes you feel, right? And so, yeah, as musicians, they got to be able to feel it. If you can't fake that, it's like the old saying, you can't fake the funk. So they will grieve with it when they hear it.
Okay.
They see the structure of it. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. they say, okay, yeah, I'll do that for you. Because they want to add their thing on it. They say, oh, I can hear this.
Right, right.
Oh, I can hear that. They go, you know what I mean? And that's what makes it great. Or more than ever, that solo that you hear
mm-hmm.
on the piano, yeah. His name is Myron McKinley. Myron, I mean, has played for absolutely everybody. He was the musical director for Earth, Wind & Fire. He's played for every known act you could possibly think of. He's played for it or played on their record.
Uh-huh.
But I know Myron personally because, Myron, we've been friends for God, for how long? For years. And so he said, man, you know I got you.
Right. And
you
came I and love he played. It. I
played
love
on
it.
The record. So, yeah, I mean, you ask for favors, but sometimes people are just friends and they'll come and do it for you, but just for the sake of doing it.
Right.
Like, what you going to do? I got Sue Ann Galloway singing on the background of that. Sue Ann is known, you know, all Prince, and she's with everybody, Grammy people. I mean, she's an artist on her own. She's on Universal Records.
I really wanted to hear the positive end of that. And that's why I asked it. I had a feeling that you had a more positive outlook on that. Because one of the things, like you said, you know, I get frustrated all the time because I'm like, listen, we are not where we need to be in the industry. And if we don't help each other out, shame. Just shame on you. I said it. I'm Nigeria Anderson. And I support that message.
I do too.
Thank you, Theo. Appreciate you. So acting, comedy, music. Now, there's another level of music that you do too that's real important. And a lot of people don't even really tap into because it's hard to tap into. And that's film. So scoring a film or writing a song for a film. How is that process? I would like to know my own self.
Well, that has a lot to do with the director and the producer. Most of those two will, because remember, music has a thing of singing. It's just like I said, remember I said, go back to how it makes you feel?
Uh-huh.
Or that it's the same thing, because music, if you look at a film, even like a scary movie, like they go, with, you know, on the organ or the synthesizer, it's really how it makes you feel. It's actually, speaking of that, Love at Your Fingertips is going to be in a movie.
Exclusive!
So one of the producers that Dion and deals with, because like I said, Dion does a lot of movie scoring, and this TV submitted the song, and the guy said, hey, I want to use this, Paul D. He said, hey, I want to use one of Theo's red songs in the movie. He said, yeah, go ahead. And you think Love at Your Fingertips, so we're just waiting. But I'm proud to get this record out, proud that we just got it done.
Right.
And I'm thanking God for all the people that worked on it. I thank you and I love you, each one, every one of you, because you guys have been great.
Man.
If you get a chance to hear this interview.
Yeah,
so,
and it's a great project. Great project. And I know once it catches on, the people will move it as well, you know? And so as you continue to gain your fan base and getting it aired and played around the world, people will know. And I've seen you perform live and, you know, the audience, they love you. And so, you know, I'm glad you're back. I'm glad you came out the gate with Love at Your Fingertips. Like I said, we need love. We really do need some love in the air.
Especially now. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, so I thank you.
I want to tell you from the bottom of my heart, Ms. Anderson, thank you. You are a powerhouse in the community that we need it.
Thank you.
And we need more people like you because you're letting people know what's going on in the community. And that is much needed.
Thank you. Thank you. It's my honor to do it. And as we say, once a key player, always a key player. So as you continue to grow and prosper in the things that you're doing, please continue to let us be one of your media outlets. And just, you know, you got the number, just give us a call, say, hey, this is what's going on. And we love doing another interview, or we love when you guys come back and say, hey, this is what we're doing, and that you're growing in the area of your art form. So let people know how they can reach out to you by your new project, Love at Your Fingertips.
Well, hey guys, if you want to go get the project, it's on Amazon Music, Spotify. You can go on YouTube. I have my own website, so www.theoforsett.com. It's on all multi-platforms. Please support and support Black music, because we need that. We got to support it, because we don't support it, nobody else will.
Right, right.
And that's just the guys on the show.
That is.
So please, thank you. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
You have a good one.